Rowley's Room 5. Did you take any Japanese prisoners on column?
Well, we did take one or two prisoners, did our column, and what happened, you see, when they took these prisoners, they weren't tagged into our column as such. They were up where the officers were at the head of the column. You know what I mean? And there were the Burmese soldiers that we had, that, as I said, was the intelligence men, they were probably Burmese spies, 9 times out of 10, for the Japanese, you see. They would be sneaking about. You'd probably see them on a track. And our intelligence, Burmese intelligence men that was in our column, would say to the major or somebody, well, we don't like the look of them fellas down there. We don't like the look of this. You see, they were probably in an area where they thought it was a bit suspicious. So what they used to do, they used to go and grab them and bring them back to the column, question them, quite a while, what are you doing there? And who are you sort of working for? And why are you here? And this, that, and the other. And they make up a yarn, well, I'm only come from so-and-so. Well, some of our officers are so intelligent, and you don't find they didn't come from any near village nearby, you see. And the other were there suspiciously. So what were they used to do? They used to, not exactly chain them, but they used to tie their hands and put them in the column, and we would walk about, maybe 6-7 miles out through the jungle, and then let them go. Let them go, you see, because they couldn't carry them any further. You think, well, right, we've now carried them for about 5 or 6 miles. We'll let them go now. Well, by the time they got back to where they wanted to be, we were then probably miles on another direction. You see what I mean? So them Burmese, or they were naturally Burmese, at least they looked like them, for spying for the Japanese, you see, what we call Burmese traitors. They were evidently spying for the Japs. And they could run off and give them the information that the Japanese wanted. So as I said, they were tethered by the hands, and that's all. They were fed, they were done and properly, they were treated properly. They weren't brutalized or anything, they were treated properly. And they were marched off along with us in the column, dragged along, 3 or 4 of them, however many there was. And then, as I say, when they got about 5 or 6 miles ahead, they would suddenly, the column would suddenly halt, the men would be released, and they would run different directions, probably into the undergrowth, and gone. Well, our column then would switch direction. They knew exactly where they were going. They knew, our column knew exactly where they were going to turn off, you see, to go. And they would carry them until our column turned off another direction, whichever way it was. And then they would let them go. Well, they're maintained, by the time they get back to where they wanted to be, they're either Japanese or either ready to shoot them for not bringing the information they wanted or something. We didn't know what happened to them. You see? And that's how they did.
But you didn't have any actual Japanese prisoners?
No, we never had any actual Japanese prisoners. Not in our columns, no.
I think you were telling me earlier that you came across Americans on the march.
Oh, yes. Now, there was one occasion. This was when we got off the Leader Road. We were then making our way into Burma. And we came across an American camp. It was getting on, and we've come to this big American camp, and they invited us to bivouac for the night in their camp. Now, these were proper white Americans, and they were ever so good. They gave up all their beds for all those chindits to sleep in, and the next morning, they even at night time, they even put on a big cinema show for us. And they say about the Americans doing things in style. You know what they did? They carved out a big place in the embankment on this jungle. And they'd made seats in the bank side. You know what I mean? They'd made it so that everybody could sit as though they were sitting in a cinema. You know, on the shelves they'd built around the seating areas. Here they had a blooming great screen about the size of this wall here, the cinema screen, and they put on a cinema show for us for that one night. And the next morning, they breakfasted us, gave us food, everything, and we marched up, and they all stood at that entrance of their camp as we marched out into the wet and the sludge and the mud of the jungle again, and off we went, and they waved us all off, and oh, they couldn't do enough for us. Now, there was one prayer I had for the Americans there. I did sleep in an American bunk bed that night. It was only about the size of that mat, so far off the ground, but they were really, really good, you know. And I don't know what they were doing there. I think they were all probably engineers of some sort, you see, working round about the areas.